Indeed.
And then I saw City of Ember on Sunday, which is based on the children's book, The City of Ember, which for some reason they dropped the V.
I don't think I've seen an ad for it or anything.
Gene Duprow is the author. That's the thing. It wasn't advertised very much. It's got Bill Murray in it.
Bill Murray, wow.
Yeah, he's the mayor. It was fantastic. It's really, really good. It's a kiddish movie, but it's kind of dark.
With Ember in it, you think fire, and that seems
well,
like...
here's the thing. Here's the basic plot idea. It's assignment day in this city called Ember for kids who have gone to school down there. At the age of 13, they become assigned to a job in the city.
Okay.
You find out the reason why is because they are in a city somewhere. It is completely pitch dark everywhere around it. They don't know where they are. They've been there for a couple hundred years now.
So it's basically like Dark City, except like a kid's version.
It starts with, there's an introduction in the beginning where it shows these scientists in a room and they're like, the world is going to end. There's going to be a nuclear holocaust or whatever. We need to have a plan for some people to survive. We need to make a place for people to survive. And they've put things in this lockbox that has numbers, and they set it for 200 years. And it's supposed to be, they give it to the mayor of this person who's going to be in the town, and then it just shows this brief montage of, here's the thing,
this is the, like,
no one in the city knows that at 200 years, this thing was supposed to pop open.
Okay.
So, because this thing is missing somewhere in the town. So it's year 246 or something like that. This city is falling apart. Everything is run on electricity. There's no batteries, by a massive generator under the ground.
Mm-hmm.
They have lights hanging from the sky that are shining down the city. Every once in a while, they break and fall, and there's power outages, and power outages are getting longer, we've found, and it's frightening everyone inside the city. And then we follow these two kids who on assignment day are assigned to two things they don't want to do. This is a girl named Lena who really wants to be a messenger. She wants to...
Like Puck.
The guy from The Real World?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Mike, she wants messenger. To be a messenger because she wants to explore the whole city.
Did you think I was talking about Alpha Flight?
I didn't know what Puck was talking about. I assumed The Real World. I mean, you might have been talking about the Shakespearean Puck.
Indeed, that's true.
That's what she wants to do. That's instead given to this guy named Dune, this kid who really desperately wants to be put in the generator because he wants to fix it. He wants to fix it to save the city.
He's from the House Harkonnen, right?
Yeah. His dad is Tim Robbins.
Nice.
They're both supposed to be, I don't know, 12, 13, 14? They're 12, I think. The girl, Nina, is played by a 14-year-old. She was in Atonement. She was fantastic. Really good actor. The guy is played by Harry Treadaway, who's a 24-year-old. So, like, you can't really tell. He looks kind of young and gangly. But I thought that was the biggest... I looked at their ages, and I was like, oh, my gosh,
that's
24.
A discrepancy, yeah.
They don't ever really say what ages they're supposed to be. In the book, they're supposed to be just turning 13. So maybe they're supposed to be 15 in the movie. I don't know. It doesn't matter. He's still 9 years older. Anyway, so they trade jobs, and then they kind of unravel a secret that shows that they're trying to figure out, you know, how to escape and all this stuff. Meanwhile, like, the... That's the basic storyline. They have to try to find a way out of Ember. There's a river that runs under the city that powers the generator. The generator's breaking down, though. They don't know why. And anyway, the girl finds in her closet, her grandmother's old and crazy, the box. It's popped open. She's never seen it before, but she finds her sister choking on some paper in there, her little baby sister. She pulls it out of her mouth. She stuffs it in the box, takes away. Anyway, she ends up looking at it later. And it's all torn to shreds, but it was the paperwork that was the map that shows them how to escape or stuff or something, because there's words missing all over the place because her sister was basically eating this thing.
It's like the fallout has calmed down now and the rest of the world's okay.
Something,
to come out to.
Yeah. Well, it's basically like the plan was 200 years, we're going to tell people how to get out of wherever they are.
Then the seal breaks and blasts from the past. You can go out and you're like, oh my gosh, this is awesome.
Yeah, it's, yes, yeah, right. So, anyway, meanwhile, the current mayor, who has no idea what's about this box or, like, their duty to guard this box, because one of the mayors, who was Lena's great-great-grandfather, like the seventh mayor, died, and the crazy old lady who was his wife just stuffed it in the closet.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't handed to the next mayor.
Was not properly handled.
Anyway, so Bill Murray is this mayor, and he... he's very funny, as Bill Murray always is, but he's like, he's the bad guy because he is very kind of greedy, and like people's the store of food, canned food and stuff, is dwindling in the city, and there's shortages of food, and everyone wants some, but they can't give that much out and stuff like that.
He's like the Spaceballs kind of mayor, where he's like, he's got cans of air.
He's storing it all up. Yeah, it's great. And he's it's funny because they put this huge like fat stomach thing on him. And at first when I saw him, I was like, oh, that's kind of, you know, that looks really fake. But it's funny because like then other times you see him, he's just sitting there like shoveling cans of food in his house, like a mouth like happily, and like he plays kind of a goofy end character. And all the other like supporting characters in this creepy, musty, like weirdly lit city, which was fantastically realized, like great set design and production design, great lighting, cinematography, all of it. It was all the characters in it, like Martin Landau,
he's still alive?
Yeah, that's I in my review I wrote, I think I erased it, but I was like Martin, and then in quotes his nickname was I thought he was dead, Landau.
Yeah.
But my gosh, he looks old. But him and like the guy who was in the British, The Office, and then the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, whose eye keeps popping out, Gareth. Oh. You watched the British
Office? I've watched it.
He was in it. Like every character who's in it has like the most grotesque face. Mm-hmm. It was fantastic. Like the casting was wonderful. The guy who's the assistant to the mayor is this guy. He looks like an Oompa Loompa, but he's not like a dwarf or anything. He's kind of shortest, weird guy who has like this weird faux hawk that he's kind of made out of his balding hair that kind of goes to the side. And he's
Is this a Terry Gilliam thing? This sounds like totally like Brazil or something.
No. It was directed by Gil Keenan, who made Monster House. That was his first movie. Like, was animation.
Yeah.
And then he did this.
Weird.
And it was produced by Tom Hanks. I don't know if that had anything to do with anything. But you know, it had... they rushed the first half of the story together. Because, I mean, if you're going to make a movie out of any book, it's going to take 5 hours.
Yeah.
You know, if you stick right to it. So they kind of rush stuff, and at times it makes it so that the main two characters of the kids
are just listening to people talk.
No, they're kind of flattish, and they both want something, but you never really learn why, and they don't really have too much character development. They're just kind of struggling to succeed and prove that they're important or whatever, and escape, and whatever the reasons are. But the actors who play the kids are fantastic, and their faces really basically show way more emotion or anything than the script would, even if it said it. So the acting was great, the directing was really good, and it just had this amazing, like, it's one of those great kids movies that's like...
It doesn't sound like a kids movie yet, it sounds almost as dark and creepy and inexplicable as this Blindness movie right now.
Right, but it's way better. I don't know if it's way better, it is better. But it is, if you see it, you'll see that it's a family film, for the most part, but... I mean, as much as like the Harry Potter
movie. Was it shot like a Hallmark movie? I mean, it doesn't sound like it. I don't see what's family about it yet.
It's shot like a Harry Potter movie or something. Like great, just great cinematography.
It's got like goofy music. It's like, you know,
the score was wonderful. The score was great. This great, like, tension filled.
I don't get the family side yet then. Maybe family side is
about kids. Not miserable. It's about kids succeeding.
Oh, okay. Fight for love. Punching up.
No, you know, just about some kids.
Okay.
Yeah, it was. It was just wonderful. I really enjoyed it. And I got to say, so little advertisement, I was figuring, oh, this can't be that great. And so I saw it, and I was like, man, this is just wonderful. Like, I don't know why they didn't advertise that kind of it. And then I find out that Walden Media spent a great deal of their advertising budget deciding that they were going to do some viral advertising. Oh. So they gave this kid who has a popular YouTube channel a bunch of money to product place... City of Ember stuff in it.
And like his crappy YouTube videos?
Yes, and that was a huge chunk of their advertising budget. That's why there was only like, I saw literally two previews for it in the last 6 months.
I haven't seen any. I have no
idea.
None
of them were in the theater. I saw one on like Spike or something, like at 4 a.m. It was stupid how little they advertised this thing. And it really has like a great pedigree, and it's not the most full, fleshed out thing.
Sounds like a Wes Anderson-y kind of story too. Maybe.
I don't know. You got to see it to understand. Okay. It's almost like a Jean-Pierre Jeunet thing, but without the oppressive filmmaking. And it really feels, it has like an international feel to it, partially because of the cast, and then partially because, I guess all the like various crew, besides the director, are people from all over, and then they filmed on sound stages mostly, I assume, But they film for some reason on sound stages in Ireland and like Finland, and there is some outside stuff, but there's also, it's mostly just, yeah, I don't know. The greatest thing is that, like, you don't know what's beyond, you know, when the lights go out in the city, everything's dark. Like, if anyone has to use a flashlight for something, you got to plug it in and walk with it. There's no batteries, you know? Like,
those chainsaws are electric, so you only got about 30 feet or so to play with.
Yeah. And, you know, there's just creepy stuff. Like, you don't know what's beyond the outskirts of the city, because it's forbidden to go out there because it's pitch black and no one has extension cords long enough to get out there.
That's creepy shit.
All the stuff they have in the city are things that were made by the builders, mm-hmm. who are their forefathers, who they don't know. And there's like a cult of people who think the builders are coming back. And there's this part in the beginning where this guy, like, they hear this whistle blow because this guy crawls over this like rubbish heap and says, like, I went out there, I felt water. I know I wasn't supposed to, and they're like, don't touch him, he's contaminated and stuff, and they don't know why they're saying that.
And then they light him on
fire. And he's holding this huge, like, looks like this rock thing about this big, like this almost lightning bolt type thing. And he drops it, and the girl picks it up, she takes it back to Dune, and he's like, that's a Beatles horn. And it's like the creepiest thing. Like, there's like 15-foot Beatles out there. Like, it's crazy. It's crazy. Like, I don't know. It's a really intriguing movie. It's not the perfect movie by any means, but it's very interesting.
Is it part of a series of books? And so it's part one of what will probably
be part one. There's a second one. There's a prequel that happened that it's set, like, you know, back before that 200 years part. Mm-hmm. And then there's now a fourth one that finishes up the series that was just published.
So the fact that it tanked because no one saw it because their advertising budget was terrible.
I don't know.
Well, if no one knew that it existed, the Chihuahua movie, you know, was able to swoop right in and keep it up. What did your family that I guess have had experience with the books? What did they think about it?
I thought Molly liked it. I was watching with my younger sister, but then as we were walking out, I was like, I really like that. She's like, you liked it? Like inquisitive.
Maybe she was surprised that you liked it.
I don't know. I thought she meant it like she didn't like it so much. And we didn't really talk about it too much.
You didn't follow it up.
But she didn't like how rushed it was and that they skipped a lot of stuff.
Well, I guess if you're a big fan of the book, then yeah, you're going to...
I liked L.A. Confidential, the movie, so much before I read the book. And then after I read the book, I realized that they basically cut like one out of every 100 pages and then put it together to make a 100-page thing, you know, like it was that sort of thing.
Well, I'd heard that book was written so that it could never be made into a movie.
Maybe so. It wasn't even in the top 10.
Well, probably not, if no one knew it existed, for crying out loud.
I enjoyed Eagle Eye. It was so stupid. I enjoyed it. It was retarded.
And you want to do that one now?
I don't really go that deeply into it. It was just... It's preposterous. Without spoiling it, there's no point, because it is stupid. It is stupid. Shia LaBeouf is awesome, though. He's really charismatic. I like him.
In certain things.
And it keeps you interested. You know, it was very entertaining, but it is one terribly stupid...
The premise, like, is stupid?
The premise is okay. I mean, it's another intriguing mystery thing. But once you find out what's actually going on, it's just retarded.
Because it's like no, that doesn't make sense, or is it like?
Are you gonna watch it?
I probably would have no reason to. You do sound like you described it as being fun, though. So
yeah,
I mean,
watch
I don't
it.
Know, maybe
I won't.
Watch
I won't spoil it for you.
Well, I just want to know. But I am kind of sick of the movie where hacking is magic. You know what I mean? Oh man, they were able to hack the train, and then they could stop the train. And
oh
then,
no,
you
no,
know,
no!
And so like, there's one guy with like a brain plugged into his
head.
And then he's able to use satellites to shut everything
down.
That
would be way, way more realistic than what this movie is actually about.
Oh my gosh. Transdimensional beings.
No. It's nothing that stupid, actually. Yeah, this is actually more realistic than the last Indiana Jones movie.
Which is never supposed to be realistic, but that's okay.
But I mean, you know, Raiders of the Lost Ark is more realistic than Eagle Eye.
Yeah, I could see it. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, Shia LaBeouf's cool. It's just got this like convoluted, stupid plot. Like, way too complicated. Way, way more than it needs to be.
With Billy Bob?
Yeah, but, you know, the acting's all decent. There's Billy Bob, and there's Rosario Dawson, and there's Michael Chiklis, and there's...
Oh, dude, the commish's in it?
Commish's in it. He plays the Secretary of State or Defense.
I think I'm going to have to bite the bullet and watch all the S.H.I.E.L.D. here at some point.
It's a great show.
I just...
Vic Mackey.
Biting off... I want them all to die. If I know they're crooked, that's fun. That's fun when...
Like, he's crooked for a reason, though.
I know.
He's got an autistic kid.
Oh, and he's got to take out the trash.
He's got to take out
Out the trash on his terms.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
But, you know, that...
Good stuff.
That doesn't mean he's above killing a cop.
Sure. No, I might check it out. I've seen a couple bits, but it does look a little, like, super gritty.